You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 288 of the KW Mod Podcast. It is August 6th, 2017, and I am back. I was away last week on vacation. I was in New Jersey, and I was loving life. It was a great time. But I'm happy to be back.
What did you do in New Jersey?
Literally nothing. It was the best. Basically, we went to the beach pretty much every day.
I think I saw a picture of you just laying in bed. That's the only picture I saw.
Yes, that is true. That was like one of the first. that took that early in the morning, to be fair. Not that early in the morning. That was definitely a lot of sleeping to be had, too.
Just on the crust at 2 p.m.
Yeah. No, so what my mom's side of the family, extended family, we rent a house every year in New Jersey. Like a huge house. And this one was right on the beach. Like literally you walked 20 feet to the beach. And, so usually we're not that close, but that was so nice. So yeah, a lot of beach days, eating lots of food that I shouldn't have been eating. We'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about what we've been eating. And, but yeah, just chilled out and, spent a lot of family time. It was really good and basically was unplugged. Like I had basically no internet access. The internet access I had was, like, it wasn't quite like dial-up levels of the olden days where, like, you would, you know, load up a titty pic and it would be, you know, 5 minutes. But it was pretty close. There was pretty much basically LTE mobile data or nothing else. And which was good, which meant that I was very I didn't really use my phone or anything. It was nice to kind of unplug for a bit. So, but, yeah, that's where I was last week. But I'm back now. And, Katie, I know you were a little bit under the weather. Go ahead and...
Yes. Yeah. I am under the weather and was under the weather. Still, I'm under the weather, though not as bad as, I was a couple days ago. You could kind of like hear it festering last week. Like I was coughing a bunch, had a sore throat. I couldn't even do my yata, what I take the most pride in.
Yeah.
I was unable to, and I probably won't be able to this week, but we'll see. See if I can redeem myself. But
have some tea with honey.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard whiskey is good for it.
Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, yeah, now you might as well try the alcoholic solution.
Yeah, for sure. Default to
that. I tend to combat any kind of illness with just blackout drunk levels of alcohol so that I don't even know what's happening.
You can solve your sickness with like a half shot of whiskey or like six shots of whiskey.
Exactly. Either way, you're feeling better. You're feeling good.
Right. Yeah. Like you'll wake up naked in the middle of somebody's family room at some point, and either way, you'll have a headache. So it's like it works out because you're gonna have a headache anyway from the cold or whatever other symptoms you had. So
that'll probably happen in a couple weeks. I'll wake up naked in somebody's living room. But
we'll see. That's good. Well, I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better, even though you sound a little sick, but
like shit.
Yeah, you don't sound, you know what, honestly, you have a, there's like a sexy, voluptuous quality of your voice when you're a little bit nasally.
Really? Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
Apologize, gentlemen.
Hey, your mail order Japanese bride's here. She's downstairs. Oh, no. Your waifu?
It's like when someone's phone goes off in the middle of a meeting, and you're just like, why don't you just answer that? Just answer that.
Oh, no, it's... not nearly important as the game podcast. Okay. What was the question? I've heard from many women that my voice has a good quality.
Yeah.
I don't let it get to my head though.
Just women?
Well, I mean, not too many men.
You'd have a good on. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I wouldn't say this to everybody, but you would have a good voice for phone sex. So. You have a good, just have a nice voice, especially with the kind of nasal component right now.
Right. Yeah.
I think you'd make a lot of,
there's definitely a fetish for that. Kind of that nasally tone.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's the market I have to fill. The demographic I have to fill to on Twitch. Like I could just stream and it'll just be like a phone sex hotline, but it's like streaming.
Yeah. Like,
who else is doing that right now?
I was just like, how do you get into the, like, I'm not saying that I would, I would do it, but like, how do you get into the phone sex racket?
How you get a foot in the door in there?
Yeah. Cause I would, I mean, I could lay at that, dude.
Like, maybe you just call one up and then you kind of, you know, you get to have a conversation and then you say, hey, you know, how, could you maybe put in a good word for me? You know, you seem to be doing a nice job. I'd like to maybe do that too.
Yeah, that actually, maybe you just have to talk to them directly and say, could you put a good word in for me to your boss? And then they'll have to, then you do a quick interview, you know?
Or you just do, yeah, just do it like you do it like you do customer support. And, after a few minutes, say, hey, right. Could I speak to your manager?
Ask me what I'm wearing real quick. Here, I want to show you my resume.
Give you my demo.
Like, I would have stuff set up. I would have sound effects, like stuff to go on my phone, stuff right on my phone.
Yeah, have your soundboard ready.
What environment do you want? Okay, let me download my ambient Brazilian jungle noises. Okay, what was that? Wanted a warthog involved in this fantasy? Okay, got it.
I was going to say, you're actually, Scott, I think you're predisposed to being good at that because you're already a streamer. Yep. You already kind of know how mixing audio works. Like I think in 2017, that's probably half the game. You know, you got to do, you got to maybe have kind of the futuristic voice. You got to have the echo voice ready. Like you got to kind of make some stuff up on the fly.
That's actually, yeah. I mean, you have, you could have your mixer, you have your soundboard, man, you could really, I wonder if anybody does that. I feel like it's probably, if you call a phone sex line, it probably hasn't changed that much, but I'm speaking out of ignorance. You might be right. Maybe getting in the game,
if they haven't already done that, business opportunity right there.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Damn,
yeah, I'm actually pretty ripe for innovation.
I'm actually going to do some Googling tonight and see how to get the foot in the door for. In the name of research, yeah. I mean, I'll just do it while we're actually talking. But all right, and Brandon, how are you? How are you doing this week?
Doing good. My birthday was this past week, so. Had birthday festivities and stuff going on.
Well, happy birthday. I said it to you on Twitter, but I can just say it to you in person. So
yeah, now it's
happy birthday.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. It was it was a nice week. We had dinner on Friday. We'll talk about that in a minute. And we had like a little party yesterday for me and Anil, my coworker. His birthday is the day before mine, so sometimes we do like a sort of joint birthday party. So that was a lot of fun. It's just been a really good week.
Nice. That's good.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about what you've been eating because I saw some very sultry pictures on Twitter in regards to your birthday dinner that we're going to have to tag these not safe for life.
Oh, yeah, it is not safe for work.
After seeing these. Let me ask you. So, do you have like a go-to birthday meal that like is this like a tradition that you generally go for this or was this
no?
Does it just depend from birthday to birthday? Because some people have a go-to.
Yeah, so. No, it's kind of just different. Normally, if I go to a birthday meal, we'll usually go to like a steakhouse just because I like steak and there's a lot of different steakhouses, so we'll usually try something new, and that was this time we tried a place we'd never been to. But it was really good, so we can get into it if you wanna.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just jump because I was gonna say what else has been what's been going on this week or whatever else. But well, let's just jump into the food stuff and then we'll work backwards from there.
Yeah,
talk to me.
Yeah, so for birthday dinner, we went to a steakhouse here in San Francisco called Alexander's, and never been there before. But it's a nice steakhouse. They specialize in Wagyu beef. And Wagyu beef is like, it's like so top of the top beef. So they had like a dozen different types of Wagyu. And, I don't know this stuff well enough to know what all the difference is. Like they have some little blurb about each one. It's like I really have no idea for the most part what the difference is. Aside from, like U.S. versus Australian versus Japan, like you can kind of get a general idea. But so... I was kind of overwhelmed with choice trying to figure out what we should order. And so I asked our waiter, what do you like? What's kind of the difference between these ones? And he said, I can bring out the meat plate, of the raw meat. I was like, oh yeah, that's great. Cause I'd never seen, at some nice restaurants, they'll have like kind of this presentation of their different meats. But I'd never seen that for Wagyu. I'd never seen raw Wagyu beef. So, he brought out this plate and it had, like, all of them actually looked really different And it helped me pick one because, like, Wagyu has a ton of marbling and fat on it. And some of those are actually really buttery, and they're good, but they're like super rich. And so we found one of the ones that they had was like kind of had a little more meat on it. Wasn't quite as fatty. And so I picked that one. It's from Hokkaido, Japan. And it is, according to their menu, it is privately farmed in below freezing temperatures.
Wow.
Wow. So okay.
That was like the special thing about this one.
What is the below freezing temperatures angle of it?
I don't know. That's just the cows are in below freezing temperatures, and that's like a special thing.
Do they wear like little sweaters and stuff, and then
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe have to Google it. But so that was like the special. Each one of these types of Wagyu had like a special thing about it. And one of the types was like it was right near this river that has like the purest water, and so that was the special thing about that one. One of them, I'm guessing he wasn't joking, but one of them had. Like one of the special things was they don't ever leave the cows alone. Like the cows always have a companion so they don't get lonely.
Wow.
That was just like, wow. I mean, I'm basically setting the stage for like this, you know, this restaurant's pretty serious about the different types of meat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So Hillary and I shared a 20-ounce prime rib as like sort of our main meal. And then we got this like a 3-ounce thing of Wagyu from Hokkaido, and then we also got a US Wagyu, which is a little cheaper, obviously. And it was just, I mean, it was just so good. Like it was so decadent. And so I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. One of the cool things too was they gave us like 12 different types of salt.
I was just gonna say to the top left of the photo, I see the different salts. That's
so
cool.
they had this tray with a legend of salt, so that you knew what the different types of salt were. So there was like this salt from China that had like a little bit of this egg flavor. There was like some salts from the U.S., from like France, just these different types of salt. And so you could kind of like they don't season the Wagyu with anything, so it's just like really well cooked. But then you kind of season it yourself if you want. So I took like a little pinch of different salts and we'll put it on each bite. It was just like, it was just ridiculous. It was like one of the nicest, probably the finest piece of meat I've ever had.
Yeah. I was going to say that looks like it's got to be up there. I mean, just your photo. I mean, you did pretty.
The photo wasn't, the photo didn't really capture it. Like I should have taken a picture. I should have taken a slice and like just taken a picture really close because like the inside of it is just like perfectly cooked. Medium rare. So it was probably one of the best entrants I've had into the what we've been eating section in a while. And the prime rib was also really good. Awesome. It was like it's weird when the prime rib and like the US Wagyu was just felt almost pedestrian because it was next to this like perfect piece of Japanese meat.
I bet.
So yeah, it had a really nice dinner. It was expensive, obviously, but it was one of those things where, like, for a special occasion, every now and then, it was really neat to do. Try that. So, if you're ever in San Francisco and you want a really nice meal, go to Alexander's.
Alexander's. Whew, man, I just want steak now after hearing that, how you describe that. And this is also you would be able to see this. Maybe we'll have the picture in for the audio listeners. You can go to the website and check out. Maybe we can embed the picture in the
I can post it on Twitch channel if people want to see it.
Oh yeah, I already posted it. But you can post it again. Yeah, but no, yeah. So the picture, get a look at what Brandon's talking about. So I was going to ask you. You don't have to kiss and tell and tell me exactly what. But I imagine the price for the real expensive cut of meat. Like, what are we talking?
I mean,
here?
I can tell you because their menu's online. So like someone can Google it.
Sure.
It's for 3 ounces of this. It was $160.
For 3 ounces?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was so the most expensive one they had is $165, and that was like real Kobe beef. So this is like a step below that. But
that's
crazy. For like $5, like at that point, who cares?
Yeah, you might as well just if you're gonna go all out, you just go all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it
for 280 the beef is made from the cow that won the Roman cow Olympics.
No, seriously, like every one of these different types had this special story. Like you just reminded me of one where they, this one particular region only outputs two cows a month. And so like it's literally just there's only a handful available from that region because they only put out two cows a month.
I just love the image too, though, because you hear about how they like how they treat the cows so that the, it's the most tender, stress free. I love it, like in the cow's mind, I'm sure they don't really have sentient thoughts like this, but like they're like, wow, dude, I lucked out. Like I've got a really caring owner. They never leave me alone. I'm eating like a king. Like wow, dude, all those other cows out there in the fields having, and then it's like one day they just get. Just totally blindsided and taken out. I just imagine the cow being like, wow, what the, like, this took a really, really dark turn very quickly. Yeah. Cause you know, I mean, that's how I'd feel. I'd be like, man, I lucked out, dude. I'm eating like a king. And then next thing you know,
by the time they realize what's happened, that, you know, they don't even have time to tense up because they're dead before they get a chance to tense up and ruin the quality of the meat.
Stab them back. Hey, listen, dude, you know what? It seems like they're very much honored in the stories and in the mouths of the people that end up eating them. Like you said,
is like when I was glad that we got the other piece too, like the piece from the US, because it was really good. But when you have it next to the Japanese one, like you appreciate it that much more because you're like, with any other steak, this piece from the US would have tasted really good. Sure. But it didn't taste bad, obviously, but you're just like, oh wow, there is this massive difference. So to be clear for the listeners, like this is probably one of the most expensive meals we've ever had.
Sure. Absolutely.
And you know, I only,
wait, you're telling me, Brandon, this isn't your everyday dinner?
Yeah. It's not an everyday thing. And, and I was, you know, my wife was treating me to it. So I was, she insisted that I get it. So that was very nice of her, but yeah, it was very expensive, but man, one of the best meals I've ever had.
Awesome.
Also for a special occasion.
Good. Well, I'm not going to be able to top that, but I just wanted to say, cause we've been talking about lobster rolls a decent amount, for over the past couple shows. I don't know. I feel like we've talked about lobster rolls a bit cause you've had them recently, Brandon.
Yeah.
And then I had a hot lobster roll when I went back for family reunion. And then I was in Jersey and, there's a lot of good seafood, obviously, especially near the beach. And so I had one of the best lobster rolls I've ever had, at a little kind of rinky-dink place down in Seabright, New Jersey. And it was just the perfect ratio of like, you know, lobster to mayo to, you know, the other stuff on the
cold lobster roll.
It was a cold one. Yes, it was a cold one. And, it was huge. Like, and I wasn't sure because we went out like for a family dinner. This place had a bit of everything, but they were obviously specialized in seafood. And, you know, sometimes you get a lobster roll or you have one and it's like, you know, not that they skimp on the lobster, but you know, it can be a little bit small for the price. I mean, this thing, dude, like, I don't know if I've ever seen that much lobster on top of like a actual proper lobster roll like that before. It brought a tear to my eye. It was incredible.
That's the kind of lobster roll I like when you've got to so like, much put, you've got to like put the lobster back inside it 'cause it's falling out.
It literally was so stacked that I ate like I had to eat a bit of it with a fork before I could even pick it up, and even then it was just spilling all over the place. And I was like, "This is what a lobster roll should be." So, really, really enjoyed that, and it made me. I just don't eat seafood very often. I mean, I don't really get an occasion to all that much. I mean, I guess I could like grill fish and stuff at home, but I'm really more of a give me the crustaceans, man. Huge crustacean fan.
I mean, you're on the East Coast, so you can get a lot of good seafood.
I absolutely can. Yeah. It's just like every time I have it, I'm like, why don't I eat this more often? But then maybe that makes it more special too, that it's not like a regular part of my diet. But, Katie, did you have any food experiences? Did you do your homework that 1 week when I said,
well, oh, actually, yeah. When I finally was at the Taco Bell, I like jumped in APL's chat like late at night and it was like, emergency. What is the food item? And, but they stopped,
figured when you asked, I was like, they probably don't have it anymore.
Yeah. I was heartbroken, but,
the naked chicken chips.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never get the chance. I mean, unless they bring them back, I'll definitely give them a try, but
I can see them. Are they gone now?
Yeah. Well, that's what Katie's saying. Yeah. I knew it was like a special, I mean, it was by the time, I mean, it was like what, maybe a month and a half, 2 months that they had them.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about them, so
I think about a month. Yeah,
Maybe it was just
you missed out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Good thing I jumped on those mac and Cheetos when those came out.
Oh, God.
I'm still
priorities.
Like I've been near a Burger King, but I just haven't gone to Burger King. Like they have a Burger King in the airport, and I've thought a couple times, I'm like, oh, I could try the mac and Cheetos, but then I remember I'm like, but I don't really want Burger King.
And we talked about them, but they were I would never get them again. I think, I don't know, where did you stand on KD?
I thought they were okay. I think I would be all for it if they were bigger and had like more mac and cheese, but they're just kind of...
They strike me as a true novelty, whereas like the naked chicken chips were actually just like, they were good. It wasn't like you were eating them because it was this limited time thing. It was just like, it's a pretty good item.
Right.
But the mac and Cheetos lost me with like the Cheeto, like... For me, what I was really off put by the texture of the, because it has like the,
the
outside
shell
on it,
right?
Like the shell is like the cheesy dust stuff, and it's like if it was just mac and cheese inside of like a normal kind of like deep fried, just basically like breaded and then deep fried, I probably would have had it. But I don't know, there was kind of weird texture, and then the ones that I got, they were like half cold, and as soon as they start cooling, you're in absolute abort disgusting territory. Like, and so it was just a terrible experience.
Yeah, I feel like that's got to be the first thing you eat. Like when you get your order from the kitchen, that's the first thing you've got to eat before anything else.
Yeah, you got to eat them hot. You got to get them hot.
Yeah, I would like it if they focused on the, like, fuck the whole Cheetos aspect. Make it actually like a good breading and then make them larger, put in more mac and cheese. I'd be all over that for sure.
I'm on that.
Yeah, other than that, I haven't really been eating out too much. I've just been... having a lot of really good home-cooked meals. A couple nights ago, I had this really good chicken fried steak. And it's
homemade chicken fried steak?
Yes. And
I got to come to your house and have your mom cook for me.
Oof. Oh, it was my dad. And I'm telling you, it was better than Denny's. Like, it was better than theirs. Okay. It was. I put a picture on Twitter. But right, yeah. It was delicious. And he's going to be making it again tomorrow. And tonight we had some kind of skirt steak. And that was delicious, but not really going out eating too much. There's this, the last place I ate at was this place called Kasai, which is like this, Japanese sushi kind of place. And they're just like one of the best local places, like really good stuff. Every single plate you get from them looks like it's artisan crafted. It's all delicious. Mm-hmm. And it's also really good prices. Like I'll probably, next time I go, I'll dump some pictures on Twitter. But I remember last time I went, my brother, they have like this all you can eat sushi you can do. And he got like the like Flaming Island sushi roll or something. I forget what it was called, but it was like the sushi roll. It was in kind of like a fold of tin foil, and it was sitting in a pool of alcohol. And the waitress comes out and she lights the alcohol on fire, and it like, it like burns the sushi and like gets it like kind of charred inside. And oh my God, it was incredible.
I don't think I've seen sushi done like that. I mean, like,
I've seen,
you know, especially with desserts, they'll come out and like light stuff on fire, but I've never seen that with sushi. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of a small place. It's not, and they really don't get a lot of business for how good they are, which is kind of, you know, disappointing, but I absolutely love that place. It's great. But yeah, other than that, you know, typical, given where I work, it's Wendy's every single damn day, you know?
And right.
Despite the terrible customer service I get there, I can't believe it.
Your Wendy's not cutting it.
Oh, I mean,
how have they wronged you, Katie? Real quick. We're going to move on to what we've been playing in a second, but tell me what's going on.
Well, I mean, I'm not expecting, like, you go into a fast food place and I'm not really expecting like, hello, how are you? You know, have a great day. But it's like I go in and I've been going to this same place for like a year and a half now.
Right.
And like I go in there and there's this like new girl working there and she's at the counter and she's like, I'm the only person in the store except for like her friend. And she's talking to her friend and I can hear their conversation. She's like making eye contact with me and still talking to her friend, go like, man, I fucking hate this place. I fucking hate working here. Can't wait to work at Jack in the Box. And I'm like just looking at her, like staring at her. Waiting, and I had to wait for the person who I know to come in, and she was like, sir, are you ordering a thing? And he's like, no. And like, I had to wait for like someone else to go in there. And the whole time after that, she's giving me this attitude, like, she, like, I, it's so little, but she was doing like little things. Like I would give her my card. She'd take it. She would take it and then like put it on the table. Like she wouldn't hand it to me. She like put it on the table. And
yeah. Away. You're getting those. Yeah. That's a microaggression.
Microaggressions. Right, I was going to say that's subtle. Thank you. Very subtle.
I thought I was overthinking it, but no, they were
no. If they don't hand the card back to you and you take the time to put it down, that's BM right there.
I'm dreaming of the next time I go there to like her to be checking me out, so I can do the same thing to her and just look at her straight in the face as I put my card on the table next to her. And oh my god, I want her to bring some shit. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, miss. I was handing you my payment.
Is that how you're gonna say it? I was handing you my payment.
Oh my god, I want to sound like a fucking idiot. No.
Is this a normal thing to just like jump ship from a fast food chain to another one? Is that seen as the ultimate mutiny? That like I'm getting out of here and I'm gonna go like a Jack in the Box.
Oh, this is Joe Wendy's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jack in the Box with my skill.
Right. I'll show you. No, I don't know what the fuck she was talking about. And dude, the Jack in the Box, I know which one she's talking about. The people working there are like insane. Like they literally give people, I've been for a period of time, me and a bunch of friends went there at like 4 a.m, you know, given circumstances, and they just give you free things. Like they literally just give you free food. They don't care. That's it's just, good. Yeah. I mean, they've all been fired. All the people. Just
oh, that, yeah. I used to do that. I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah. They all work at Wendy's now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they all moved over. They migrated. But no, enough about that. Let's talk about more interesting stuff. What we
learned. I actually have another answer very briefly. I went to the store and I was hungry. All right. So this happens all the time. But normally when I'm hungry and I go to the store, I think like, what can I get that's frozen that's really easy? And usually I'll just get like Hot Pockets or I'll get something I can throw in, you know, really easily. But for some reason I was feeling adventurous. I was like, I'm going to actually cook something. And Hillary wasn't here because normally she would just cook for me. And her cooking is very good. Mine is not. But I was like, I'll get some chicken or I'll get some fish and I'll just cook it. Because like, you can cook things. People do that.
Oh,
so I was
no.
like, how hard could it be? So right. I go and I'm like, and I'm looking at Safeway and I find they have tilapia and it's like $2. It's like $2 for a few fillets of tilapia. And I was like, all right, well, you know what? Even if I screw this up, it's literally $2. Like, I don't even care. So I go home and I Google a recipe for tilapia and I did like, you know, put some olive oil in the pan, breaded it with flour. And you know what? It actually came out pretty good. I was, I was pretty pleased with myself.
Cooking for yourself.
Yeah. That was a real adult thing that I did. Like I went and I got food that was going to go bad if I did not use it and cook it on the stove.
Yeah.
And I did that.
I'm proud of you, dude.
So, that's good. Share that achievement.
So would you do it? So you would do it again though? It seems like it was a successful outing.
Yeah, I think so. It was basically like, I imagine families do that all the time. You know, like they go to the store probably a couple times a week and they get fresh food. I just generally don't do that. Like I get stuff that I can throw in the freezer because otherwise a lot of times things go bad. Because if we're traveling or whatever, like we don't think about the fresh stuff we have in the fridge and using that to cook. So, so I was like, I'm really hungry right now. So I can actually get something fresh and try and cook it. And it came out okay. Mm-hmm. Came out okay. It was edible.
All right. I love that you're like, it came out. It was edible.
No, but like it was actually like, it was fine. I didn't know what to expect. And so I was like hoping my threshold was edible, but it was actually like pretty good. It wasn't MasterChef good, but it was pretty good.
Okay. Cool. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep you on, topic here and talk to me about what you've been playing as far as games go. I mean, clearly you've been playing the cooking game in real life. Yeah. You got some solid tilapia.
Yeah. But what about hashtag cooking?
yes.
let's see. Playing, I've mostly just been playing Battlegrounds, like, you know, the rest of the world, as I understand it. Yeah. I did play some Diablo. I think I'm probably kind of close to done with Diablo for the season. There's just, you know, you kind of ring out what you can get from it in maybe a couple weekends. And so I think people are probably going to kind of drop off and I may be kind of done with Diablo until next season, you know, and we do it all over again. But I've mostly been playing Battlegrounds. They had a big patch come out this past week. The main thing that that made the news was they added first person servers. So a lot of people have been waiting on that. So I've played a handful of duo games in first person servers, and it is it's interesting. Like, it is fun. It is more tense, but also I feel like it encourages a play style from some people that is really frustrating. You know, people don't, I think generally people get frustrated when they die in PUBG because, you know, someone's like camping in a house, or they're, you know, they're like not moving. They're not looking to try and win the game. They're just kind of like chilling out, and you get shot by someone who just clearly is like not engaging with the game. So in the first person, some of the first person games that I've played, that is on like a whole other level, because people, because it is like the stakes are so much higher, and people can't peek around corners before they actually go around the corner. Play, and maybe this is just because it's brand new and people are kind of getting used to it and getting their bearings, but it is like, I think people are playing way more conservatively. And so I have died to people who just have just basically sit in the same spot, you know, waiting for you. And you don't really get that in third person because people can peek around the corners. So, you know, so they'll like, you can, it's kind of more of a mind game. Like, who's going to peek first? Who's being smarter about watching all of their angles? In first person, instead of doing that and kind of like walking around, but, and looking the corners and everything, people will just camp in the same spot. Because you can't peek around a corner, so they can get the jump on you, you know, if they hear you coming. And so that happened several games and was kind of frustrating. But, you know, it's sort of the best of, or it's like better in some ways, worse in others, because the actual firefights in first person, way better. Because people can't, like, they can't just constantly be popping in and, like, behind trees and stuff. They have to come out if they want to actually kill you. So when I have won a lot more firefights than in third person, because you're not playing that waiting game. People will actually like stay out in the open a little bit. And I generally have a better shot than the people that I'm playing against. I've found the ways that I would die in firefights in third person is that, you know, you get one or two or three shots in, they'd go behind a tree, they heal up, you know, and they basically wait for you to move. In first person, they don't get that luxury. So it's the firefights have been more fun. It's just that the camping play style has been kind of frustrating. So we'll see. I mean, it seems like that's what everyone is kind of gravitating to, though. So I like it. I like it, but the game, like, I've been more frustrated. And I think the games are harder to win. Like, I haven't won a game yet. The best we've done is like top five, I think.
Okay. So yeah. So, but more PUBG, and we got a couple PUBG topics to talk about. But I mean, the first one we are talking about is obviously, you know, the first person servers.
Yeah, I didn't mean to break into the news section.
No, it's fine.
That's a little tease for everyone.
Little tease. We got a couple topics to talk about. I mean, we talk about PUBG pretty much every cast, so that's not anything.
We're not the only ones. We're not the only ones. We like. All the PC gaming news sites this week literally just PUBG. Have articles about the smallest, dumbest PUBG news. So I feel like we are actually like aggregating the news that is like maybe worth talking about, instead of talking about a lot of the small stuff that everyone else seems to be.
Can I just I have to speak, I won't name the website that used this, what should have been like, this is so when it comes to PUBG and stuff, obviously you get a lot of clicks, so there has just been spammed articles like you're saying on these different news sites. This headline: PUBG's new car horns have turned stream snipers into stream honkers. That is just a shitty joke that maybe somebody should tweet, but it is an actual entire article. They use that as an entire art. That's it. And they're talking about I don't know. It's just, anyway, it's pretty bad right now. It's pretty bad. That should show you. Okay, fine. Yes. All right, chat. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. But, yeah. So the excitement and the hype and the, you know, around PUBG definitely has not gone away. It has only gotten, bigger and bigger as the game has progressed. And I mean, to be fair, you know, massive update came out.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, I enjoy playing it. I enjoy talking about it, but, even for me, it feels like it's a little much when they put out a tweet and then all of a sudden there's like three or four articles that literally are just like one or two paragraphs and then embedding the tweet.
Exactly. I mean, they're covering, what am I blanking on? Mr. Brett Green, right? They're covering the dev so closely. It's like if he farts in a, you know, in his bathroom and he tweets about it, anything he tweets
turns into an article.
Yeah, exactly. They're covering him like Trump, like, you know, where it's just like anything Trump does, right? There's going to be 50 million articles in the media about it. It's the same kind. He's getting that kind of level of treatment, which makes sense because the game's big, but it's just, it's a lot. So
it is a lot.
But I'm sure it's getting the clicks. I'm sure it's getting the clicks.
So. It is. I mean, we clicked on some of these to, you know, research the podcast where we are guilty of this.
I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the problem. It's clearly working.
What have you been playing, Scott?
What have I been playing? So I played a decent, well, so I was pretty much, I was on vacation. I came back, on Friday, well, actually Thursday night, and then had my first stream back on Friday. And, I played a, okay. So, you guys know about Roblox, right?
Yes.
So I didn't know Roblox had been around.
Where is this going?
12 years. Well, I decided that, last week, somebody in my chat had said, like, hey, you should really install Roblox and try out the CSGO variant of, you know, that game in Roblox. And so I was like, you know what? I'm willing to give it a chance. You know, you have to make an account. It's free. And so I did, and we tried out actually three or four different game modes on Roblox. One of them is Phantom Forces. That was the first one I tried out. And that's like the COD/BF1 version, you know, first person shooter. And that was surprisingly, first of all, the player base at the time of playing Phantom Forces, there were 10,000 people playing that variant on Roblox at a single time.
Wow.
So that's pretty popular, man. I mean, there's a lot of games on Steam that would love to have 10,000 active players at any given time. So, right. And I have to say, man, I pretty much just did sniping and it felt really fucking good. It ran relatively fine. And it gave me a picture into, like, if you're a kid and you don't have any disposable income, like if something like this had existed when I was a child, I mean, I would have been all over Roblox because you can basically, there's a shitty version of every major game title out there that you can play for free. And I mean, some people, there was a guy, in my chat that was playing with us that, has been playing Roblox for like 10 years. He had like a level 84 in Phantom Forces, which is insane. Because it's like a grind to level up at all in that. It was, and he was saying that he plays it because he enjoys it and it's free. And he, you know, and he used to like Call of Duty. Now he plays Roblox. So I did that. God. That was the best one. Then we played the what's the Counter-Strike version? I don't know. Check and try to, I forget what it's called, but the name's pretty entertaining. But, and that one is not as good. The CS version of Roblox. Like the map design stuff is impressive because like if you play it, you're like, oh, okay, this is Inferno. This is Dust 2. Like I can see what they're trying to do here. Mm. But it's pretty buggy. The buying process is weird. The hitboxes are hilarious. Like, cause it's Roblox. So you have to aim at like, if anybody is like crouched behind actual cover and you try to shoot them in the head, the hitboxes aren't in the head. They're in the chest. So if you want to kill anybody, you aim for the chest and then hope, you can hit that. Oh yeah. Counter blocks Roblox offensive. No, are you trolling me? Something like that. And then we also, and then there was a battlegrounds/battle royale variant that I tried out that it was, really? So it's 30 players, dropped onto a map. And, I don't remember the name of it. It was something royale and it was, oh boy. I had like this audio, I was getting some audio, but most of the audio, it was like pretty silent. That was a real rough one. That one was still in its very early stages. So, you know, I guess all in all, I did enjoy my time. I did enjoy my time with Counterblocks. and Phantom Forces. And I totally, I get it, man. I get it. There's a lot of, you know, I think there's a lot of young kids on there. You can't really get too profanity ridden with your speech because, you know, there's filters on there. We actually, Ferb, who's in chat right now, he actually bought a server for so that we could do, we were going to originally do 10 mans, but there's no like competitive actual mode. So it just is the first to 8 when you join into a game. But he actually bought a server with physical, with his real money. It was $7 for him to buy a server. And then we just kind of played a bunch of a game. Wow. So shout out to him. I think he has it for a month. So I'm going to have to do a couple more competitive Roblox, CS games.
Get your money's worth.
And get my money's worth. I also played a game called, Ball 3D, which is a free. I mean, just look it up on Steam if you want to take a look at it. It is pretty fucking terrible, but it's free, and it has a bunch of different game types. It looks like basically like somebody who just learned how to use Unity made like a Rocket League clone, and we had 32 people playing all the different game types, the basketball, hockey. It, honestly, it was fun. It was fun just because we had a bunch of people. We filled a server with 32 people, but my God. Apparently, some people take it pretty seriously, because it was, I think Nikon Punch was playing it with Timmy like the night before, and they were like, dude, you got to check this out. And it was it's something. So yeah, so you know, obviously not anything I could really recommend for more than a few minutes, but if you're strapped for cash, there's lots of options out there for you guys to play, you know, when it comes to the free to play stuff. Had a lot of cosmetic items.
Sound like you got a pretty good amount of entertainment for $0.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And at the end of it, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It's not like, I don't think these are games they're going to be returning to very often, but, you know, it was fun. It was fun to switch it up and try some stuff out and get some insight into like when people, like I see Roblox, Counter-Strike like montages on YouTube with music. And I'm like, okay, I get it, man. I understand what's going on. Like, I feel like I got a picture into what the youth are playing. But I was shocked to find out that Roblox has been in existence for 12 years.
I didn't know it was that old. No,
it's that old. Yeah, it existed before Minecraft. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's exactly the same as Minecraft, but you know, it definitely Minecraft definitely was inspired, I feel like, by Roblox. I don't think there's any way to deny that, but it is cool to see. Like, there's also, I didn't get a chance to try out the League of Legends variant for Roblox, but it does exist.
Oh my god!
So I might have to do that at some point. So
the most popular variant of Roblox right now appears to be just a. It's called Store Robbing, Jailbreak.
Jailbreak!
It's in all caps.
Oh shit!
Wow,
27,000 playing right now.
Jesus,
27,000. That's what I mean, dude. Like, a lot of these variants have insane player bases. Like, yeah.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
It's definitely more than I would have expected.
Yeah, I feel like Roblox is making kind of like a resurgence recently. Like, it kind of fell off for a bit.
Yeah. Like, it's coming back strong.
I can't believe, though, that the Counter-Strike clone is literally called Counter-Blox Roblox Offensive.
That's
a little on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's for me. What about you, Katie? What did you play this week?
Nothing too crazy. This game coming out in September called Yeast, Y-S. Mm. It's like a weeb game. Trying to play some of the past games, get caught up for that. There's this game called Yeast Origin, playing through that, and, another, it's on Steam, and, Yeast, Oath and Fel'Ghana, that game. Both of those are awesome. They're like, action RPGs that, like, the whole thing is, like, how difficult they're supposed to be. If they came out today, they'd be compared to Dark Souls vigorously, of course, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, it's, like, no healing at all in the middle of a dungeon. Like, you just straight up can't heal. You don't have any dodge, you don't have any block. It's all about, like, picking precisely, you know, when to attack, like, you know, dodging, all that good stuff. But, yeah, that and Yeast Origin are both really good. And then there's no release date yet, but Yeast 7, which was a PSP-only game, it's going to be coming out to Steam in August sometime, but we don't have an exact date yet, so I'm ready for that. But yeah, I've been playing Yeast Origin, and that game is really fun. I played the first 30 minutes of Tomb Raider, and then I got distracted, And nothing to say about the game, really. I mean, it's pretty neat so far. It's technically, I feel like I also played like the first couple hours back in the day on like PS3, and like a while ago, like when it first came out. And now I'm playing it again, and it just seems like technically, like when you're mashing left and right when Laura is like climbing the rock and she's like flailing her arms, it kind of looks goofy, but. I mean, for a game from 2013, it looks pretty good, and I've heard really good things about it. So I played
through most of it. I enjoyed it.
It was good. Right.
It's a pretty good game. That one.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Yeah, I'll have to. And I remember Rise of the Tomb Raider. I got that with my graphics card when I first built my computer like 2 years ago, and I still need to get around to that. So might as well start chipping away towards it. But other than that, still playing through Danganronpa 2 and PUBG. That's pretty much it. Oh, and also, I jumped on Rocket League again for the first time in a few months, and that game actually has gotten a lot of really good customization changes. Like, there are new things for like trails, like that your wheels leave. You can unbox things for new goal explosions, like when you get a goal, and some of them are fucking crazy, like a big like pixel explosion or like a kraken, like tentacles come out everywhere. Like, there's a showcase of it on YouTube. Like, some really cool stuff. And, it was fun playing with friends. I play with this one friend, Jake, good friend of mine, but he says the most toxic shit in chat. Like, we'll get we'll score a goal, and he'll say, even a mosquito from Haiti could have blocked that in chat. Or he'll just say, like, most random shit.
Wow.
Like, it's like, or they'll miss, like, a really easy goal, and he'll say, wow, chimp level block or something. It's fun to play with.
So he really likes to. I mean, I respect that. I'm a fan of the shit talk, especially in Counter-Strike. So
it sounds like he's just searching for the right insult that really stings. Like he might have have a few misses, but the one that latches on, that opponent's never going to forget it.
Yeah, I know he's just trying to get a rise out of them, but it's when you play with him, it's kind of like, God, I really hope I don't get banned. along with him, like, only so many reports or something, that's been a lot of fun. That game is just timeless, Rocket League. As long as people are still playing that, I'm always going to enjoy that.
Cool. All right.
But yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. We're going to talk about more Battlegrounds in the news here shortly, but first we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is... The KB Mod Extra Life LAN is coming up so soon. It is this month, guys. We're really in the month of the KB Mod Extra Life LAN. The 18th through the 20th, August 18th through the 20th is going to be the KB Mod LAN. So many people are going to be there this year. I just found out that Yingity Yang, Ying has been on the podcast multiple times, recently is going to be coming, from Canada. So Ying's going to be there. We've got, obviously Katie Zen's going to be in attendance. We've got Timmy at the queue.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, Timmy. I mean, this is the, Timmy's coming too. This is the, I mean, Brandon's going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy this year.
God, I'm so
ready. It's
going
to be nuts. So, I'm very excited. And, it's coming up. It's the 18th. I was like, I'm going to do the math. I'm not going to do the math right now. I think is it the 5th? It's the 6th. I think it's the 6th right now, but,
God,
it's almost upon us. So keep that on your calendars. Have some money set aside. There's always great prizes. There's going to be great donation incentives. It's going to be a great time. So I'm very, very excited for that weekend. And, beyond that, we also had a review on the website. We talked about it a bit, but Suros did a review of Pyre, which is the new game, from, the creator of Bastion. What was the other?
Transistor.
Supergiant. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, he's got a really good video review up on the site. So check that out if you're interested in Pyre. And, Julian makes great content. So I'm glad he's writing and making videos for us.
It was a good video. I was glad to be able to watch it because it doesn't really spoil anything, but you can kind of see a little bit of the kind of the gameplay and what the premise is. So it was really good video. I appreciate it as someone who's trying to decide if I want to buy Pyre yet.
Yep. Yeah, it's a tricky game to recommend. I haven't finished it. I'll say I've been kind of like chipping away at it. Mm. But It's definitely, it's super giant quality, but it's not what you'd expect. It's kind of weird. But yeah, great. It was a great
video. Watch Julian's review. Yep. Decide for yourself.
Ooh. There you go. All right. Link in the description, dog.
There you go. All right, so let's continue. We've been talking about PUBG a bit. We already talked about the first person server edition, but let's talk about the fact that they broke 500,000 concurrent players this week on Steam. I believe the peak was at this point 580. I think it has since gotten to, which is incredible.
That's wild. That is really crazy.
To give you some context of like other game, you know, there's not many other games. At the time of the screenshot, when PlayerUnknown took the screenshot and tweeted about it, it was surpassing Global Offensive with, at the time, had 511,000 players. So, I mean, we're basically, you know, for it to be getting those kind of numbers with a game like Counter-Strike, which has been around for so long, I think one of the stories about this is like, yeah, that's amazing. But, I mean, this game's been out, what, 6 months? Not even? And we're looking at, and we're seeing those kind of numbers.
Like five months.
It's crazy. It's actually nuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, congrats to the team. I mean, it's a great game. I know we're still having fun playing it. It's not even out of early access as of yet.
It's also just crazy considering it's getting that peak and it's not a free game. Like it's a $30 game. So,
right.
And they've only sold, you know, a little north of 5 million copies. They announced that recently. Yeah. So to have 500 plus thousand playing at once on a game that sold 5 million copies, like that's more than 10% of the people that have bought the game playing at any given time. That to me feels like just a wild percentage of the people who bought the game actively playing it.
No, I totally agree. It's crazy. Like the attach rate for like when you say that with the sales to have like over 10%, and I think it's just going to continue to grow. It's like this is really, we're kind of watching this morph into, I don't know if we can say like cultural phenomenon yet, but like even people that I wouldn't expect to know about this game are starting to like. I'm trying to think who in my sphere recently I saw like on Twitter where I was like, I didn't even think this person it was somebody I followed. That wasn't even like that. I didn't follow for gaming content. And they were like, man, I'm getting into PUBG. I'm like, I didn't even know you gamed. So, I mean, obviously when this hits consoles, this is going to, it's going to be even larger, but you know, just the fact that it's on PC and kind of getting these numbers. And of course they added in this last patch, they added support for the Xbox or for controllers. So, you know, if you really want to get shit on, you can play with the controller if you can't wait till it comes on console.
If you want to spend 20 minutes looting, I can't even imagine how that would work. Like,
The looting in first person is like sometimes a little challenging because you don't have that overhead perspective, and so you have to really pay attention to what's on the ground. And I find myself hitting tab a lot more to see what the items are. Because especially for like the little, you know, magazines or extended mags and stuff in first person, those are just really easy to miss.
Yeah, and like suppressors and other things like that. Yeah.
So we did talk about this a little bit. Well, 2 weeks ago, I don't know. I wasn't here last week, so I'm not sure if you talked. I'm sure you talked about PUBG in some form, but we had talked about the whole crate implementation that they had talked about that they wanted to do, which is they're basically testing to see, you know, how the microtransaction stuff is going to work and all that. And they... But you know, and I was a little bit upset in the sense of, I believe Ying was on the cast, 2 weeks ago and we were talking about it. And, you know, it just felt a little bit like under the guise of like, you know, hey, well, all the money that will be raised via the crate system is going to go towards, you know, the tournament that we want to have. And that's going to just go to the prize pool and all that. And we're just kind of like, you know, when you're a game that's sold 5 million plus copies and you're kind of new still, and you're still working on getting not the formula right, but I don't know, just fixing stuff and making sure that the game runs well. It's just kind of put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths with this crate stuff, you know. And to the credit of PlayerUnknown, in the patch notes for the patch this last week, he kind of clarified what they wanted to do with the crate system and you know what their intention was, but basically that they didn't really communicate it in the most effective way, and that he understands that, you know, the optics didn't look that good. So I think it was definitely, cause we weren't the only ones that were kind of like, I really prefer that they didn't start doing cosmetic stuff. That was one of the things that I kind of liked that they weren't doing. And, so it doesn't, they still went forward with, you know, with what they wanted to do, but it is kind of an acknowledgement that like, hey, we should have explained it better. And so one of his quotes, he said, "I do understand the concerns about the system, but I feel testing for a sturdy economy on the Steam marketplace is necessary at this stage and ultimately beneficial for the game." He said, "But still, I must admit that our messaging wasn't very clear, so I extend my sincere apologies for the confusion. The process of communicating our intentions precisely to our fans and community should have been done in a more careful and prudent manner. I've learned a lot and we'll try to, you know, communicate better moving forward." But, you know, so there's things like, you know, with the new system, there's caps on the number of crates you can receive. So, which is the same way that the current free to open system does. So you're capped.
I mean, but, honestly, you know, it feels like they're going forward fairly conservatively.
Yeah.
If they were really going after all the revenue they could, they wouldn't put a cap on the number of crates you could get. They could have been a lot more greedy. Sleazy. Yeah. Sure. They could have been more sleazy, more greedy with it. I think anyone saying that like they just shouldn't put out cosmetics at this point in the game is ignoring the fact that like when you have this kind of player base, you're just leaving money on the table not doing this. Like you're potentially actually right. There's an argument to be made that you're making the player base worse off because by putting an economy like this in, it actually allows you to hire more people. You know, and like get the game to a better state quicker because of this additional income. So I think it seems pretty innocuous to me. And like, I'm sure they're going to make a boatload of money with just this one silly crate. And I mean, the items that are already available, like they're already going for these silly prices. So
it's insane.
I kind of think he actually has a reasonable point that they kind of do need to test out a little bit and understand more about how to manage the economy of their game's items, because I think so far that they probably don't have a great handle on what that economy will look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can understand that. I mean, and again, it's not, I just want to make it clear that I'm not like, of course, like this game is there just because you're making tons of money doesn't mean that your job really. At the end of the day, they're making a product. They want to make money. You know, they deserve to make money if they make a product that's good. I'm not anti microtransactions when it comes to cosmetics. I think it's just more the timing of it, and not that it's dishonest, but I felt like the first pass at the whole like crate system was not being honest. And like I just have more respect if they came out and like, listen, like this game is incredibly popular. It blew up even more than we ever thought it would. You know, we're going to add cosmetics to the game. And we're gonna make a shit ton of money because, you know, we can, because this is right. Like this is the market, and so like I don't know, I sometimes feel like companies or game studios will hide under the guise of it or like shy away from the fact that like, you know, I mean, we're just gonna continue to make millions. So I don't know,
I'll be honest, I think my potentially biggest complaint is I think that. From what I've seen so far of the cosmetics, I think they're pretty weak.
Yes.
Like, I don't think they're that interesting. So no. I'm sure they will make a lot of money off of it, but like, it's not, I don't think they're really leaning into cosmetics yet, because you look at all the items that you can get from the crates and they're all pretty pedestrian. Like the most, it looks like the rarest thing you can get is like this mini skirt thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, that's, you compare it to like H1Z1 where it's just completely bananas. They seem to be pretty respectful with cosmetics thus far. If they really wanted to cash in, they could be doing some way crazier stuff.
Absolutely.
I feel like in PUBG, like you kind of run the risk with making cosmetics too flashy in a game like that, like compared to H1Z1 when it's more like certain.
Yeah, there's prone and stealth and in this game.
Right. Yeah.
You stick out like more like a sore thumb probably with certain cosmetics.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just mad that there are no jorts in the game yet. That's a criminal oversight. And until those come out, I'm going to have to. Ostracize.
Now, there's like some short jeans that I bet you could, you know, on a male, those would probably hug pretty tightly.
You know, I'll have to look more if you're right. I've scoured the market and I've been unable to find. No, Jordans.
I just mean from this crate. There's like I see one of the epic items is some jean shorts.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty spicy.
That is lovely.
You may soon have exactly what you want.
Oh, beautiful!
You're gonna be buying up those crates.
Just for the jorts.
Yeah, so there you go. So that was, I mean, we pretty much covered most of the topics I want to talk about in regards to PUBG, but I mean, I'm sure next week we'll be talking about it again. There'll be another patch. There'll be either a controversy or there'll be new player numbers. So it is, it's cool to watch a game like this. Again, like I said, I don't think it's like a, I don't know what word I want to use, but it's like, we're not like Pokemon Go level, right? Obviously. Yeah. It's not like a, but I do
it's
think
not like,
we
it's
are...
not like your parents are going to hear about it and ask you, right. Hey, what's this PUBG thing I've been hearing about? You know, what's this thing that my friend posted about on Facebook? I don't think it's going to be that level, but I think it is kind of seeping out into the general public more than most games do. Like I've had a couple people who aren't really into gaming, who have mentioned it or who, like when I mentioned it, knew what it was. So it's like, yeah, it is kind of becoming more of a household name than, frankly, it has any right to do.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel the same way. So, yeah, we'll, you know, just stay tuned for all of your basically the PUBG topic/article roundup. You know, we'll take the 750 articles written on any gaming website in any given week on PUBG, and we'll dilute them down into, bite-sized pieces for you guys. Okay,
I'll have the news section and then the distilled PUBG news section.
Distilled PUBG, yeah, exactly. We've got a couple quick hits we want to hit on in the news before we jump into releases. But so Titanfall and Titanfall 2, a game that by all marks very solid. A lot of people love the campaign, love the multiplayer. It was a much more robust game than the first Titanfall, probably the Titanfall that people wanted the first time around, but really was solid with the second game. And basically, you know, we've got Vince and Vince Impella, and you know, he likes to use words like fuck and he likes to give pretty cool quotes, and that's why, you know, gaming websites love talking to him. But he's asked about the success and if, you know, they're going to continue with the Titanfall franchise, and he said this to PC Gamer. He said the game was successful. I'm sorry, it was actually to GameSpot and PC Gamers reporting on it. Excuse me. The game was successful, but it sold well, but it didn't quite sell as well as it should have. I agree. Maybe because it was super crowded. Yes. I feel like Titanfall 2 came out at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
The pricing was aggressive. Yeah, I mean, it's a $60 game, and it was a rough window to launch our game. So in regards to that, we've talked about this a bit, and I know that, like, release dates a lot of times are set. I mean, they're set long before, obviously, the game is completed. But do you think there would have been any harm in them just waiting to, I mean, I don't know what all the reasons behind them not waiting in such a crowded market when Titanfall 2 came out. But I just remember that month being insane and being like, this game comes out and this game comes out and this game. Oh yeah. And Titanfall 2. And it's like, it's so easy to get lost. They could have
I feel like if they probably could have changed it, they would have. You're probably right. I'm sure that with a production like that, you've got, I mean, you've got like the console certification stuff. You've got your whole marketing plan. Like, I bet that they basically couldn't stop things going in motion, you know, toward that date. But I'm sure in hindsight, like they probably, you know, they probably wish they would have been able to change it, because I agree with you that if they were able to launch at a different time, I think they probably could have garnered a way different response. And that game could probably have had a way more thriving player base.
Yeah, exactly. So he also says, but we've got a really great fan base. There's not really much. This is the part I found very interesting. He says, there's not really much negativity or acidity compared to other communities. So I'm very thankful for that. You know, he's definitely talking about COD, obviously. It's coming from, you know, not his baby. But he said, it's important for us to keep the franchise going. We're doing more Titanfall, which is a quote I'm supposed to say, which is interesting. This is what I mean when Vince starts talking. We have our franchise creative director who's in charge of safeguarding the franchise in multiple formats and making sure it continues to grow. There's some other things we're doing that haven't been announced just yet, but we're heavily invested in the Titanfall universe. So, you know, I mean, that's a pretty open-ended statement very interesting that he says, which is a quote I'm supposed to say, which almost makes it sound not super genuine. But I've, I mean, I don't think it's going anywhere. They're working on a mobile RTS called Titanfall Assault. You know, and again, like critically, this game was very, very successful, even though it didn't necessarily sell as well. You know, you got to wonder what they paid to make the game though. Like, does like it, it sold well, but not enough mean that they broke even?
Yeah, that, that makes me wonder too, like, because Titanfall, like, the first Titanfall, you know, I think that sold pretty well. But then I think a lot of people were a little bit, you know, not necessarily in love with it. Like, I think generally people seem to agree that Titanfall 2 was an improvement on the first Titanfall, but it didn't sell as well because they didn't have that crazy hype. It wasn't a brand new thing. But of course it seemed, I mean, of course it seems like they would do more because what else, like what else does Respawn really do? Like, do they
this is the thing
they do is Respawn does Titanfall.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't really have any, unless they're going to like totally go off and make an, you know, start another franchise, but that's like, you know, it's just, it's risky at this point anyway for studios to make new IPs. Like, you don't see it very often. And this is definitely an IP that, like you said, first game was like, okay, people were like, all right, this is decent. And the second game really much more critically acclaimed, and people really, so I don't think they're going to go away from it, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what, like, will the Titanfall 3, you know, obviously there's DLC and stuff that there is going to be coming soon.
They tweeted, they apparently tweeted, just last week that they had nearly 1 million unique players playing Titanfall 2 over the past week. That would have been like the last week in July. That, I mean, that actually seems like a lot. That's more than I would have guessed. More than 1 million people logging into Titanfall 2 in a given week.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's much more than I would have thought for giving a game.
So maybe they're not doing too bad. I mean, it's like
maybe they're $60 price tag too. So
yeah, not like maybe him saying that it didn't quite sell as well as it should have is because their expectations might have been sky high.
True.
Yeah, I remember when Titanfall was like first announced, like people were losing their fucking minds for that game. So I feel like they might have been like using that, like going off of that level of hype.
And I think the first game sold really, really well too. I don't know. I have to look at that, but I think it sold relatively well and they were happy with it. So
yeah. And I remember feeling this way when Titanfall 2 was announced, but when it came out, like when it was coming out, I'm just thinking, you know, who cares? Honestly, like that was what I was thinking at the time. Cause like, I think they probably
did well with their fan base with Titanfall 2 because the people that did buy it probably were happy with it. But they're probably looking to, if they do another Titanfall, they're probably going to have to, like you said, pay more attention to the games they're releasing next to and, like, you know, basically try and push that our last game was really quality and was like this gem that you probably missed, but this next one is going to be bigger and better. And, you know, they want to have, hopefully they find the right balance of like the quality and then also launching in a, you know, in a less crowded space than they did before.
Right.
But I'm wondering if they, like, when they say they're heavily invested in the Titanfall universe, that makes me worry that they're like thinking about Hawken type stuff where they're going to do like
a movie or an anime.
Cause then the next thing they talk about is like this mobile RTS called Titanfall Assault. Like that's like the classic game franchise move is like we do a mobile game. We do this like comic book series. And I feel like that's all that stuff is just like, I don't know. Do people really care about the Titanfall lore that much that they're going to be interested in like the mobile game and the comic books and everything else?
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, like from playing two, like from playing that campaign, like I got, that world is really, really interesting. Like it's really, they can do a lot with, it was that good. But I mean, not like this. I'm not a mobile game. Come on. What are we doing?
So you mean you're not going to play their RTS? You're not going to jump in a
Probably not. I'll probably, if they port it to, I'd probably pick it up. I wouldn't play it on my phone or like on my tablet or anything. But actually, I mean, I'll give it a try.
I was going to say, what kind of fan are you? How are you going to give it a try? Right? I bet it's free to play. You're not even going to download it and play it for free.
I'll play for 30 seconds and then uninstall and then give it a 1-star review. I mean, from what I've seen of it, it looks like It doesn't seem like the kind of style I would prefer, like, or what I would think that it would have, like, get at playing the other games. But I mean, there's potential for it, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
It sounds like it also sounds like their recent DLC, Operation Frontier Shield, is their last.
Yes.
That's, yes, that's what it's called. Sorry. That's what it's called.
It's a good name.
It sounds like that's probably, he says that's the last major content update for Titanfall 2. So it sounds like they're maybe gearing up to create a new game at that point.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it, see what they decide, what direction they decide to go. Mobile games, movies, anime, Titanfall 3. The sky's the limit.
Titanfall anime. I would not be down.
How about an isometric Titanfall anime first-person shooter, MOBA-like, roguelike? I don't know.
With rogue, just voxel-based.
Yes, with difficulty, basically Dark Souls.
Pixel graphics. It's basically Dark Souls. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Basically Dark Souls. Graphics.
So we'll see what they do. I want to talk a little bit real quick just about, this isn't really like news, but I talked about this in my stream recently with some people in regards to Red Dead Redemption 2. Definitely that's like one of probably my most anticipated game in the next couple years, whenever it actually comes out. But, you know, and people asking, like, do you think this is going to come to PC at all? Or if it is, you know, when? And I think there's a good chance that it comes to PC personally. It's just seen with the success of Grand Theft Auto 5, even though it was like a year or 2 years after the console release. But again, there's no guarantees, but, Take-Two, the publisher, was recently, asked, specifically, about this. And first of all, they were asked about PC gaming and where they see like the PC gaming market when it comes to the games that they publish. And this was a quote from Carl Slatoff, who is the company president. He said, some titles are actually heavily weighted to PC. For example, Civilization NextCom, which they publish. The great news is that the PC market is vibrant for us. It's a great market for us. It's a big market. It's a core market, and consumers that are highly engaged. It's predominantly digital market, which also removes friction in terms of ongoing engagement with the consumer. So for us, the PC market as a company is very important and very exciting and something we focus on. He says very exciting. It sounds like a,
that's like a Donald Trump quote.
I was just going to say, reading this sounds like a Donald Trump quote, 100%, which makes me nervous because if I'm hearing Donald Trump quotes, it makes me go like, he's overstating how much they give a shit about the PC market. But no, yeah, I mean,
it's like instantly makes me skeptical just due to the wording.
Like the wording, like, okay, he's trying too hard. Like maybe they're not. So, but he also got pressed specifically about the possibility of a Dead 2, PC port. And he just, said that, or his, actually, Strauss Zelnick, who's a different guy at the company, said any updates about any of our titles will come from our labels. So just noncommittal.
That makes sense. But, Take-Two probably wouldn't spill the beans on Rockstar's news.
So on one side, we've got the, Donald Trump quote of about how great Take-Two feels the PC market is. And then you also have them, you know, they're not going to say anything, you know, unless Rockstar announces it. So, what are your guys' thoughts on this? I mean, I don't think you can deny the success of Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PC. They sold so many copies of it. I mean, it's great. You got the modding. You've got the, you know, there's just so many good things about the PC version of that game. Whereas you would look at something like Red Dead, and while that is more of a single player experience, right? Like, you know, the online component. I remember playing Red Dead online, like the multiplayer was kind of fun, but in the vein of it being like an opportunity to like role play or mod and stuff like that, I feel like that would be really cool in that kind of universe.
Yeah. I will be curious to see if they actually try to build in sort of conduits for enabling that kind of experience.
Yeah.
Because that basically is not in GTA, except for the fact that GTA is such a open world game that modders were able to, you know, build in some of those systems. But I think at least from what he's saying, it's better than like what he could have said, which is like he could have said something more tepid. And sure, he references titles like Civilization and XCOM, which are just titles they publish. But it sounds like hopefully it sounds like they have people internally who are fans of doing things on PC. Like it sounds like that. It sounds like they have projects that are doing well on PC, and so hopefully they have internal advocates saying like, "Dude, the PC really would be like a good thing to focus on here," because they've had other success examples like GTA 5, like the titles they publish. So my only worry is that with GTA 5, they put out the PC version, you know, over a year, it was like almost 2 years, right? After the console version, I could easily see them doing the same thing here because they know that there's so much demand for their games that whenever they put out the PC version, it will sell like crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so like Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC, that game could be 3-4 years away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be, one thing that does, when you were talking about like the success of 5 too, there is a model and setup now that, they've done so much with GTA Online and the modding community has had so much time with it. You know, obviously you expect, they're going to use the same engine for Red Dead 2. It wouldn't be too much of a stretch to just see them like, be like, hey, like we know how to work with the tech. We've gotten better with it. Like, we can definitely put this on PC and, you know, have something similar to that. Like maybe it'll be baked into the game off on the get go, like Red Dead Online. Like I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
It seems like GTA would be a way bigger project to port to PC. And they hadn't done something of that scale before. So, I mean, as a PC player who wants to play Red Dead, but is most likely not going to buy a console just to do so.
Right.
I'm hoping that maybe they have enough experience under their belt, or because this is like a smaller project than a GTA scale project, like maybe that allows them to shorten the timeline and put out PC around the same time as console. But I think it just seems obvious. They have to put this out on PC, right?
I mean, it seems like that would be a massive, there's so many millions of copies that they otherwise wouldn't sell. And also the double purchase, like I was the double purchase. I bought it. I couldn't wait for Red Dead. I played it on 360 and then I bought it, GTA 5. Mm. I couldn't wait the 2 years for it to come out on PC. So I spent $120 in total. And there's a lot of people that are going to do that too, who have a console and are going to play it on PS4 or whatever console that they have. And then are also going to buy it on PC. And then the people that, like you said, Brandon, like you, who don't want to buy a console, who are going to be getting it for the first time. Just financially, you have to go, like, it would be a massive missed opportunity, or just kind of them walking away from cash for them not to put it on the PC. So that maybe, like you said, is the strongest argument that, you know, money ultimately is what talks. So for also, them not to do it, it just doesn't make sense.
I don't think this is necessarily a large enough reason for them to care. But do you also think that streaming would play a part in the decision to put it on PC?
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at GTA. Sure. Do you really think there would be any consistent GTA streamers if that game was not on PC?
Absolutely not. Not if RP didn't blow up to the way that it did.
Yeah.
You'd have like people speed running it, or the occasional single player, but absolutely would not even be close.
But even that, right? Speed running, even just anything, I feel like you're sort of kneecapping the things that could come out of that game that you don't anticipate if you don't put it on PC. And that is like some unknown number. Like you don't know if that will be a small impact or like GTA 5, a big impact. Like I don't know how many copies GTA sells because of the roleplay stuff, but it's gotta be decent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be definitely more than they would have sold otherwise. So I wonder if that factors in at all, because like you sort of get these potentially happy accidents if your game is on PC, where you're probably just gonna close off those opportunities if it's not.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So let's see if we're right, and I'm hoping I think it's definitely going to happen. I think it's going to be another year and a half, 2 year model that we had with GTA 5. But yeah, Take-Two kind of noncommittal, but saying that they really value the PC market. So good signs there. And Brandon, you want to take this last little quick hit and we'll jump into new releases?
Yeah, last quick hit. I figured we would, we'd mention that the Hearthstone expansion, Knights of the Frozen Throne, launches next week. They've been, they have been just dripping out cards one at a time, which is one of my least favorite things about new expansions. But there are 135 new cards, and there's a new mechanic called Hero Cards that they've been kind of showing those off, and those look pretty interesting. I'm not sure if it's going to get me back into Hearthstone the way I was before, but the Hero Cards are like Death Knight versions of the card, and when you play them, you transform into the new character, and you get a really powerful effect and a new hero power. So, you know, that's sort of the new ability that's probably going to define the meta of that set. But anyway, that comes out next week. I imagine if you play Hearthstone, you probably already know that. But I think they've announced most of the cards at this point. So that's Hearthstone's going to be changing here pretty soon.
All right. There you go. Katie, take it away, man. The new
releases. Got a plentiful section this week. So first up, Lawbreakers is coming out finally. Caliphi B's newest multiplayer shooter.
I didn't realize that was coming out for real this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah,
but, gone gold.
After a couple betas, it's out. August 7th. Today, actually, as of my time, it's coming out. It's in approximately 17 hours, according to Steam. But yeah, it's going to be $29.99. I played a little bit of this in the beta, and I thought it was fun. There are just a few flaws with it. I thought, kind of the UI was terrible. I thought, the tutorial didn't do a really good job of explaining things. But I kind of enjoyed it from what I played, but I do want to give it a try at some point. I might pick this up on sale or watch a few streams, see what's going on. But, yeah, I did enjoy what I played. And, yeah, did any of you guys try out Lawbreakers at all?
I did. I liked what I played of it. It's super fast, definitely high skill cap. Obviously, character balance and stuff like that's going to be something that they're going to be tweaking and stuff. But I think as far as an entry for $30 too, not a $60 game. That's one thing that's really good about it. It looks really pretty. It ran pretty well for me. Definitely once you get in a groove with one of the character heroes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, lawbreakers in the game, which I believe they're called, hence the name. It's good. I mean, I especially for a new IP. So I don't know. I think this will probably have a pretty solid player base, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of eSport competitive aspect of it, because I think it has a lot of potential. It's definitely kind of a merging of, a lot of different games out there. You definitely kind of get the flick kind of shooting of depending on the character of Quake and stuff like that, but you get a lot of verticality as well. But also, I don't know, the class, the different definitely brings a lot of Overwatch kind of ideas to the mix. I don't know. I like what I played.
The verticality seems to be kind of the thing that's different from that's different for Lawbreakers compared to other games. And that's sort of what they're leaning into is kind of this gravity element. I played a little bit of it here and there. I haven't played it recently, so I'm sure that it's probably changed a lot since I've played it. But I agree with Scott that $30 feels like the right price for that game. And when I played it, it felt relatively polished. It seems like a game that is probably going to feel like it's worth $30 just because it's there's a lot of detail there. I'm sure people will be streaming it, and it'll be interesting to see if the game takes off from a competitive aspect.
We'll see what happens. A lot of people are predicting this game is going to be played for, a month and then disappear. And I think that might be, but again, that doesn't determine just because a game disappears on Twitch and isn't on the front page. That doesn't mean that the player that it's totally dead. So again, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a game that's going to be in the top as far as streaming goes, but I could see this game being one of those shooters that just has a really solid player base and will exist for a long time, on PC in smaller numbers compared to some of the others. It's not going to dethrone an Overwatch or anything like that, or a Counter-Strike Global Offensive, but it could definitely be in the mix. So
we'll see. For sure. And yeah, definitely a good price for, definitely a good bargain, but we'll see. Next up is a game I'm pretty curious about. It's called Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. It's from Ninja Theory. They made the newest Devil May Cry reboot. They did Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. And it's also only $30. It's a single-player action game with a pretty grim setting. It's pretty... When I first saw a trailer for this, I was kind of off-put by it, but I didn't really give it a chance. But, like, watching gameplay, it looks... It looks pretty, like... Oh, I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say what it reminds me of. I'm not gonna do it. It looks like a pretty intense sword fighting with some big dudes.
I can't think of any other games that have any of those things.
Yes, if you ever want to fight some big dudes, this came up. Hellblade. It's set in the Viking Age. A broken Celtic warrior embarks on a haunting vision quest to fight for the soul of her dead lover. But yeah, it looks kind of unique, definitely. But
it looks interesting. I want to give a disclaimer that I cannot appear to find gameplay screenshots or video on their Steam page. Like, most of this looks rendered, which, I mean, it's very visually interesting, looks really cool, but it makes me worry when I can't see, I'm not seeing real gameplay here.
And on top of, just like that whole, running thing about, the screenshots having to be of gameplay, these kind of screenshots, if you're just going through, you'll kind of think it's a different game than it is. Like, from the gameplay I saw, it was, like, kind of focused on, in, like, action, one-on-one, kind of overcoming a powerful opponent. And from here, you just see, like, two close-ups of her face, one of her looking, looking into the environment of one, and, like, one of her opposing some guy. So it's, like, not really in your face about the action, so it's kind of not the best screenshots choice. It
doesn't look like Dark Souls from these screenshots.
Yeah, definitely not, yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it's good. August 8th, something that comes out. I know Enslaved. Right? Yeah, it's $29.99. I know Enslaved, I haven't played that, but I've heard from a lot of people that was kind of like a hidden gem of the game. And DMC was pretty fun. So, hopefully they produce another banger, as they say. And next up is a game called Graceful Explosion Machine. It's an indie game, side-scrolling, piloting a machine. You got a bunch of different weapons. Looks like some good fun. No word on a price yet, but it's got some good reviews. 8 out of 10 from IGN. 4 out of 5 from Hardcore Gamer. That's if you've got his word, then you know it's good. And then Nintendo Times gave it a 9 out of 10. It's got other awards as well. But yeah, this looks kind of the thing that makes this stand out from other like Steam new releases is just the polish. This looks like definitely more fun.
That's a good name. Graceful Explosion Machine is just a good name for a game.
Yeah.
But it didn't get an 8.5 from IGN. Like, an 8 makes me a little suspect. 8.5 is the standard for any great game. Pretty sure.
Right, right.
Almost everything, so. But yeah. We'll see.
It doesn't meet that. It's IGN scale kind of goes, like, 8.5 is a 2, and then it's, like, varying degrees. Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, August 8th for that. And then also on August 8th, is a game I didn't know about until a week ago. So everyone's favorite developer, Telltale Games, is back with not one new game, being Minecraft Story Mode Season 2 coming out, but with two. Another sequel. Batman The Enemy Within. For all you big fans of the first Batman, I know, I really enjoyed that game.
Damn, dude. Telltale, more bangers, dude. Hey, this needs to exist because we haven't milked the money of fans of other franchises where we make our fucking shitty, terrible games. The Game of Thrones fans, hey, listen, you like Batman too? Come over and play this fucking thing that shouldn't exist.
Oh my god, the Game of Thrones one was so bad.
Game of Thrones. Was
so bored.
I was actually talking to somebody recently and I realized that part of my reason for stopping watching Game of Thrones was that I hated the Telltale shit so much that it actually, like, I was like, I'm fucking done with Game of Thrones. Anything. Even though it's not really the fault of, I mean, it's the licensing, I guess. They paid for the licensing, but I was like, I'm fucking done with anything Game of Thrones. So I'm gonna go back and watch it when all the seasons are done. But seriously, Telltale ruined Game of Thrones for me. Garbage.
Yeah, the Batman didn't. I played the first episode of the original Batman like Telltale series. I think I talked about this on the cast, right? Yeah, and it wasn't. I didn't think it was too good. I won't go into it. But if you were perhaps entranced by Telltale's magical works, then a sequel. This is coming out on August 8th. Also. if you pre-purchase it, it's going to be 10% off at $22.49. And yeah, we'll continue the story. God, I don't even want to.
How can you not pick this up when you have a tease like this? With the arrival of a ruthless federal agent and the return of a still nascent Joker, Batman must navigate uneasy alliances while Bruce Wayne undertakes a perilous series of deceptions.
Hmm. Wow.
Which of Batman's new allies will you choose to trust? And how deep into the darkness will you let Bruce descend?
How many bad animations can you put up with until you close the game?
How many times can you load up another fucking awful, awful Telltale fucking cash in and look at this engine that should have been retired 10 years ago and think to yourself, I'm not getting screwed. Yeah, that's what it should say.
Right.
That's what it should say in the description.
Which of Batman's pointless decisions will you make this time? Yeah.
Right. God.
Choices terrible. Matter, dude.
Oh, they'll remember that. God. Anyways.
Sorry. I've just told you. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. God, can I just say, I was watching that Minecraft, like, story mode you were playing, and, like, you said something where you commented, the character in the game commented, like, the headpiece that the person was wearing, and it said, they will remember that. I'm like, is that really the, like, consequences we're dealing with here, is them remembering that you complimented their headgear or their outfit?
Yeah. It's just,
it's terrible.
Microaggressions.
Right, yeah, we're back to those.
Exactly.
Yeah, next up is a game I added purely for polish. I'll probably not be buying this. This is award winning, but this game is called Cat Quest. I don't know what this is. It looks nice. It looks pretty.
Oh, is this the definitive RPG about cats?
Yes, it is. It's an open world RPG set in the possum.
Oh my.
You leap into a grand adventure in pursuit of the evil Dracoff and your catnapped sister. The cat puns continue in ludicrous amounts throughout this Steam bio and in the trailers. But it looks like some genuinely...
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're so forced. Visit... a meowsing locales.
Oh my god.
Come on, guys.
That's a little much.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's very... Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't spend more than, you know, $5, maybe $10 on this. But the thing is, it looks like there is some genuine work put into it. So I won't purchase it, but I feel like a chance will be given, you know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
The cat puns quest. Seem like the worst part of the game. It actually looks like an okay game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's worth bringing up. All right. And then lastly, this week is a game called Dead_File.exe. It's another meta game. I don't know if you remember that game, I'm Scared, or the game like Pony Island. It's kind of like that. But this looks intriguing. It's kind of that, I'm a big fan of games like this that kind of like break the fourth wall and kind of interact with you outside of the game, something like Undertale, kind of. It's like Dead File is an unusual experience platformer genre game, which besides hardcore levels contains the mystery story, dressed with a good soundtrack and the stylus graphics. However, be careful because this game does not die after closing its file. It says like, it's like you will have to understand that the game exists without you. You will have to spend a couple of your nerves on the passage. Okay, the translation maybe is
a little rough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and I remember with the game I'm Scared that came out, which I haven't played, but I hear it's just like one of the best kind of, you know, meta games out there. It was kind of, this looks like it'll kind of do the same thing where it'll kind of make files on your computer and like mess with you that way, and you have to like solve puzzles kind of like that. But the presentation of it looks kind of promising, so no word on a price yet, but it comes out August 8th. And
I'll wear disguised as a game. I've not thought of this yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's genius.
Yeah.
Basically what it looks like.
All right. That's good.
Thank you for that banger of a section, Katie. Some serious releases this week. Yeah, that was good.
Good stuff.
Lots of good stuff in there. We're going to jump into viewer questions, and our first one comes from Dext Erect on Twitter, and he asks us, what are your thoughts on wireless gaming peripherals? Just a good question in today's day and age.
We talked about this a little before the cast, on like the various pros and cons, but...
I think he's obviously talking in the context of 2017. I've only ever had horrible experiences. I've never even bought any wireless gaming peripherals because I've had enough friends who have had them and been like, what the fuck are you doing? And they'll be like, oh, my mouse died or my headset, for some reason is not working. And I turned my microwave on and now I don't have any audio or, you know, shit like that. And so I always knew to steer clear of, wireless peripherals, at least growing up. But I have heard, and I don't have any myself, but they have gotten a lot better and that they're a lot more consistent. So even with that said, I would still shy away because I don't really like, you're sitting at your fucking computer. Why do you need wireless peripherals? You don't go outside. Like, what are you going to, like, it begs the question of why do you need it? Because if you have a decent setup, you're not going to have wires everywhere. Like, how many things do you have plugged in?
You're not moving your setup around all the time. You're not.
Like, are you gaming on your, like, your Alienware laptop and, like, your hotel room visits or something? Like, most people, I can understand, I guess, if you're traveling a lot or whatever else. But even then, I don't know. I guess, really, what are wireless peripherals and who are they for?
Well, that's really the only time I've bought a wireless peripheral. Like, I bought a wireless mouse. Was for, I mean, mainly like for work, but with a laptop, right?
Where
the wire actually is kind of annoying. And so,
yes.
I would use a wireless mouse instead of using my trackpad. But that, mm-hmm. I only really ever had bad experiences with that. Like, it was okay. It was passable as a mouse, but as a gaming mouse, it would have been terrible because, like, there was a lot of input lag. Sometimes it would take a second to wake up, you know, when you would, when you'd come back from a break. And I know that the gaming peripherals, like you say, have gotten a lot better. It's just that I personally have not had enough good experiences to spend my money on a wireless peripheral when wired peripherals work fine.
And exactly.
It doesn't bother me to have one extra wire on my sea of wires at my desk. And like, there are just so many, I feel like if you want to get a wired keyboard a wireless keyboard or wireless mouse, you're sort of limiting your options because like a lot of the best peripherals just don't come in a wireless version anyway. So if you don't have a strong reason to want a wireless mouse or keyboard, I would say just deal with it and get the wired version.
And I don't know if we're counting headsets, but for a long time I have this, it's the PlayStation 4 kind of gold headset, and this actually, like with wireless headsets, you're kind of taking a chance, you know, with, like, connection issues and things like that. But that actually served me like very well. That like, I prefer that over like the Freedom, not having like a cable draping down or like, you know, rubbing against your arm. Like, this braided cable is like very irritable, but like, I can kind of see, and like being able to like get up and not being like tied down by anything. Like,
I can just a wireless headset, something. I can definitely understand. I haven't personally used them, but I could understand wanting one of those instead, like keeping it on as you kind of move around your room or whatever.
Right.
So, like, that one, I unfortunately haven't used a wireless headset, so I can't really comment on, you know, the difference in performance. But from what I've heard, those generally work fine if you get a good reputable one. I think Astro makes one, maybe.
Mm. Okay.
But wireless mouse and keyboard, I feel like the benefits aren't there. Like, there's just not a strong enough benefit to give one a try when there are great wired versions that are always going to work well. And you're kind of just asking for potential issues with a wireless version. Like, it might work fine, but the times that it doesn't work fine, it's probably going to be because it's wireless.
Exactly.
Right.
You're going to run into so many problems. Like, just set yourself up for success and don't do it. I mean, I understand definitely like the convenience of like a wireless headset, being able to walk away from your computer, especially if it's an audio thing or whatever, or music. Yeah, it's nice. Be able to walk around your apartment and stuff like that. But if you're like a serious, I don't know, if you're a serious gamer, you don't have a wireless keyboard and you don't have a wireless mouse. And that may sound elitist as fuck, but I think And if you do, you're probably, maybe you're newer to it. Cause I just think most people aren't, you're just not going to want to, if you spend so much time there, you're not going to want to put up with the hassle of if it does, something does go wrong. So just don't, I don't know. So I think we're all saying that as a general rule of thumb, like you said, also to brand, like, brand wise too. And like of stuff that's quality, you don't really, there's not too many things.
Yeah, the options are a lot more limited if you want something wireless. And, you know, there's kind of a reason for that. Like, you're going to pay more for it, and your choices are lessened. So you're going to kind of have to decide if you want, you know, a particular design mouse or if you want something wireless, because the wireless one might not have all the features you want, or it might not have the extra buttons you want or something. So you kind of – and I don't even – honestly, I don't even know of any of the top-end keyboards that come in a wireless version, like any of the mechanical keyboards that I'd actually recommend to people. Those just don't even come in wireless versions. So, like, you're pretty much stuck with wired stuff if you want the enthusiast-grade
gear,
which, you know, as gamers, typically that's what we would recommend.
There you go. All right, Dex, thank you for the question. And this question comes from Katie Zen 18. Not sure.
There it is.
On Twitter as well.
I'm not seeing the tweet from Katie Zen. Yeah. At Katie Zen 18. I'm not seeing this tweet here.
I don't think any part of this document clarifies that it has to be a tweet.
But I see an at sign. It looks as if this was tweeted at us, but I'm not seeing. Maybe he deleted it.
Well,
maybe he was.
Perhaps it was. Yeah, it might have been deleted.
I bet he deleted
it. Your words, not mine.
He's probably ashamed.
You know, I picked this up from. This is actually a tweet I saw from a friend of mine, and I thought this was a hot topic.
So that's why he deleted it, because it's a recycled question.
It is a retweeted. It has been retweeted through other media. That's even possible.
All right.
I've retweeted it into this doc. Okay. Gentlemen.
Yes.
How do we feel about sprinkles on ice cream? Mm-hmm.
So this is actually, this hits home because went for ice cream a couple times on vacation. And this, to me, is all a question of what kind of ice cream you're getting. So the first time I went, I got a nice vanilla soft serve, and I got sprinkles on it. But if I'm going to get an ice cream that's like, you know, something like, I don't know, like a chocolate, like something that's not a soft serve. Just any other flavor, right? Normal ice cream, I don't generally do sprinkles. For me, in my mind, sprinkles are reserved for like soft serve ice cream. Mm. That's how, at least growing up, that's what I've had.
Okay.
Within the context of it. And we also call them Jimmies too here. At least growing up, we call them Jimmies. Yeah.
What?
Jimmies.
That's not a thing.
That is a thing.
No, it's not. Don't call them Jimmies.
Jimmies.
You're talking about sprinkles, right?
Yeah, literally type Jimmies into Google and then look at the sprinkles.
I will not.
Look. Do I have to go through? Okay.
It must be done. I'll
just type it. Type in Jimmies.
I'll be damned.
My Jimmies are rustled that you would even suggest to call sprinkles Jimmies.
Sorry. East Coast.
Clicking on now, despite countless gorillas I see everywhere on these image results, but yes, there are definitely sprinkles everywhere.
Yes,
and countless.
I believe that you're not the only wrong person here. I'm just saying to all of our listeners, do not call them. They're called the sprinkles. Is the name of what they are. It's a descriptive name. It's not confusing. There's nothing else called sprinkles. People know what the word sprinkles means.
Yeah.
Jimmies, that could mean a dozen different things.
There's
Jimmy's
no
has
meat.
Multiple meanings already. Why are we confusing the word Jimmy's further?
If you're going to go get a nice cone, nice soft serve, you get some Jimmy's on there. That's it. Exactly what you're talking about. It's not confusing.
I can't.
I'm experiencing culture shock I was not ready for.
That's fine. Hey.
If you... Okay.
All right.
All right. So,
great question. Yeah.
So Jimmy's, this as it should be asked. Jimmy's on ice cream for you, Brandon. Jimmy's, yes or no?
Oh my god. My question. I don't like what's being done with my question. I'd like to before it gets violated anymore.
I saw your plug version. What do you think?
So this might be an unpopular opinion, but I personally don't think sprinkles really add anything to ice cream. Mm-hmm. Like they're just kind. It's just kind of. I don't mean to go this far, but this is the best analogy I have. That Sprinkles are like sort of the candy corn of sweet condiments. Like,
I can see what you're
sprinkles
saying.
Sprinkles are not adding
to
the...
That's a little far, but...
Sprinkles, I'm not saying it's as bad as candy corn. I'm just saying it's like, you can eat sprinkles, but why? Sprinkles are not improving the dish. They're just there. They're just there for decoration. They're there to make it look better, or, you know, better subjectively. But it's just kind of empty little... Like, you wouldn't eat sprinkles by themselves, because they're kind of gross. They're just like little pieces of sugar. They're not even that good. So, generally, if I have a choice, like, I won't turn down something that already has sprinkles on it, necessarily, but I'm not going to add sprinkles myself, because they're not adding to the dish. And that goes for ice cream, that goes for, like, cupcakes, birthday cakes. Like, sprinkles are okay, but it's kind of just empty sugar. Like, I would rather just have more of the thing that makes that thing good.
I somewhat agree, but I also think that you're not considering the crunch. Because it also is a textural difference, especially. That's what I really noticed.
Well, hold on. Are we eating talking, soft serve like, with vanilla? What kind of sprinkles are we talking about then?
I mean, sprinkles. It's a different texture when you. I mean, when you look at a sprinkle and then you and let's say you. I mean, it's sugar. It's little bits of sugar, but it does. It changes it up a little bit. Also, it makes it look pretty too. It's, you know, it's shiny. So again, I know that you're not so much for the aesthetic of it, but.
I mean, I will agree that the aesthetics can be important to some people. That's not personally important to me, but. I get the aesthetics piece, but if you're just asking me, like if you were going to serve me ice cream and you said, hey, you want me to top this off with some sprinkles, I would say no, thank you. And then you would hand me my ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think, I think I'll do it. Other than that though, I'm not going to put them up. And then Brandon is of them.
That's fair. You're lagging a little bit for me, by the way. So, apologies to the listeners that you're roboting a little bit. But
Down.
Ooh. Ooh, that's putting me down. I'm glad to know that wasn't just me.
I'm just enjoying Scott. Like his words aren't lining up with his mouth at all.
I've been in his place. It's very frustrating. trying to get this message across.
The tables have turned.
Yeah, and like I hear the roboting, and I naturally assume, I have shitty internet.
Yeah,
but no,
Comcast doesn't think they're called Jimmy's either, Scott.
Is this better? Is this still bad? Test.
You're fine.
Cam's a little off sync, but you sound good.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well, guys, you mentioned Jimmy's, and then Comcast gets their Jimmy's rustled. So much like Brandon.
they got triggered. Me down. So enough Jimmy's. Let's talk about. Oh God, no, fuck. I can't even do it. It gets to my head so quickly.
All right. Let's.
I give up.
Just waiting on that segue.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So enough about. Let's stop talking about the edible Jimmies. And let's start considering the human Jimmies. The Jimmies of our listeners. Are they Russell? Are they not Russell? We will find out in our iTunes podcast reviews.
Wow. That
was a tortured segue if I've ever heard
that. That was very interesting. Hey, I appreciate the effort you put forward. Maybe not your best, but.
No.
The effort's good.
You came around, but generally segues are supposed to be kind of natural short transitions.
right.
That one, you know, had to keep myself awake through it. But you know what? I won't have to keep myself awake through this podcast review.
No.
Because we have a nice spicy review this week. But before we get to that, I want to tell you how you can submit a podcast review of your own, much like Pedro the Bear did this week. So we're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on all the different platforms. But iTunes reviews, we go through and we read those each week. So if you want to be featured on this part of the cast, you just got to go to iTunes, you log in, you search for podcast, just search KBMod. You'll be able to find us. Go rate us. Rate us 5 stars because that is what we deserve, and that is the only way we will read you on the cast. And put anything you want in here. This is actually a great example of how creative you can be in this section. because this review this week comes from Pedro the Bear, and it is titled A Brief History of Podcasts, First Edition.
It's incredible.
Okay, Dee, why don't you take us away here?
I shall. It's titled A Brief History of Podcasts, First Edition from Pedro the Bear. 1910, podcasts invented. 1920, podcasts ended. Everyone was poor. 1940, farming podcasts. Long-form heavy machinery maintenance educationals are all the rage. 1970, secret internal Democrat Party podcast files are stolen by agents of President Richard Nixon in a desperate bid to dominate the iTunes charts.
Wow.
Oh, my God. 2010, hard science, intellectuals only. Podcasts such as the Joe Rogan Experience enter the podsphere and become the norm. 2017, Katie Zen and Brad still pierce my ears every time they make an S sound. Please, God, either buy them a $10 pop filter or something. I don't know how much more my nubile eardrums can take. The podcast they're on is decent as well. Love to my favorite cast from Nick A.
God damn it.
That's okay, I didn't know it. I didn't know it was that bad. What kind of noise am I? I mean,
you've literally changed like that. That is what defines 2017 in the history of podcasts.
It is
that painful sound.
I have to say, I learned so much too. This was entertaining. It was educational. It was well written.
Right.
This had everything.
I remember my grandfather talking about farming podcasts back in the 40s.
Yeah, it was hard work. Absolutely. Yeah.
Going down the fields.
In fact, like, people forget that Nixon was taken down for stealing those podcasts.
Yeah.
And the podcast files of his, well, you know, of the the Democrats who were higher up on the charts, and he was like, no longer.
Yeah.
So
people forget, you know, the incentives that were at play. But man, iTunes back in the early 70s, like, you got to the top of the iTunes charts, you were just set for life.
Exactly.
And, you know, it turned out that took down a president. Crazy stuff.
It's nuts.
You know, you let your podcast sit for too long and it starts getting these like awful growths on it. You take it out, you're like, there's this Nick Fenton stuck on here. I need to pry it off. See a little hardballer on the bottom, gotta take that off. You start getting in the way if you just let it, you know. But
Yeah.
No.
Man. Okay. 1910. It's amazing that we've had over 100 years of podcasts already.
It's crazy. Yeah. So here's to 100
that long.
Here's to 100 more years, and Nick A, aka Pedro the Bear, thank you so much for leaving it. So yeah, like you said, follow Brandon's instructions. Give us another podcast review next week. I look forward to seeing what you can come up with.
I mean, I feel like this is the first edition, but like, there was a lot left out here, because like 1910, 1920, 1940, 1970, there's some huge, huge podcast milestones in between those times. So you're welcome to contribute to the Brief History of Podcasts as well in your own review. And we will read it on the cast if it's 5 stars.
There you go. So I think that's going to do it for episode 288 of the KB Mod Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. You can, of course, check out kbmod.com for, build guides. Check out the review by Suros of Pyre. Check out the multi-stream. Check out the forums. You can follow KB Mod Gaming on Twitter at KB Mod Gaming. You can follow Katie Zen on Twitter at Katie Zen 18. Brandon is at Volition, VOL1TION. I am at APL Fisher. And we will all be at Extra Life on August 18th through the 20th. Keep that in your calendar. We're going to keep mentioning it, obviously, but really hope you'll join us.
We're going to mention it exactly one more week because it is only 2 weeks away.
Only 2 weeks away, yes. So make sure that... you're going to have your schedule cleared to be able to join us for that weekend, because it's always a good time. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Farewell.
Yatta!